Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome, friends, family in Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in, for watching, listening, sharing. We've got our brother in Christ, Jay Siegert, back with us. The website, thestartingpointproject.com. There it is, thestartingpointproject.com, understanding and defending the Christian worldview. Let's get an update from our brother who is in studio today. Jay, welcome.
Hey, it's always a great opportunity to be here with you, and today's going to be a fun program because it includes a surprise for you.
Yeah, surprise for me. Yeah, I'm taking his word for this one, but thanks for making the drive.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, what's been happening? You said you've been flying how many times this year already?
Well, I don't normally count planes, but last year I happened to look at my calendar. I wondered how many planes that involved. And it was 72, and I was like, oh, my word, I've got to slow things down. So this year I counted 84. It'll be at the end of the year, 84 planes. But I do have plans for slowing my schedule down for next year.
So wait a minute. How does that work? You slowing things down is increasing the amount of trips you're taking.
Well, more trips, but a few less actual presentations.
Okay.
And so I've got 7 Grand Canyon tours and a Yellowstone Jackson Hole tour, all talking about the authority of Scripture. You can trust the Genesis flood and other accounts in the Bible. So it's keeping me busy, but slowing it down so I can produce other resources and maybe start mentoring someone else to take my place when I get about 120 years old or so.
Yeah, 120, that's a good age.
Yeah.
That's biblical, too.
Yes.
So you're probably booked up for this year for the Grand Canyon tours and everything. So what do you have coming up in the early part of maybe next year? When is the first trip you can take out there?
Actually, it's a little different this year. We're primarily focusing on groups. People who come to us, they've got a group of people. They would love to go on a Grand Canyon tour. And so we've been giving them dates. If they don't fill the bus, then we'll advertise some of those extra spots for miscellaneous people from around the country as they travel and speak. See, people say, oh, I really want to go. They'll probably have to wait to see if one of the tours doesn't fill up, and then they'll be able to go. We haven't decided to put a generic date out there yet.
Okay.
Might happen, but we have probably about 15 groups who would like to go, and I can only do maybe 4 or 5 tours. I'd like to do more, but
yeah.
Have people around me telling me I got to slow it down.
Yeah, yeah. People? Is that your wife? Yeah.
Well, my wife and my daughter, who works for me full-time, we just actually finished a little over a week ago a tour, Calvary Chapel pastors and their spouses.
Oh, nice.
Bus full of pastors and spouses. That was awesome. We want to do that every year. I'd love to do 2 of those a year because it's basically training the trainers to help them be better positioned to minister to their congregations.
Wow. So wasn't planning on asking this because the topic is a little bit different, but I was just thinking, you know, giving pastors that tour, very important tour. Well, Calvary Chapel is a different entity, maybe, or animal than the typical pastor that might come out of seminary or maybe got trained somewhere else that didn't get the very solid, detailed Genesis teaching on creation and arguments to defend the faith. But you still are teaching them a lot of things they're not able, or they didn't know coming in, right? These are pastors.
Sure. I mean, I told them right up front, I'm not assuming that they don't know any of this. I said, some of it you probably will know, but some of it you probably won't, and it'll just bolster your faith. It'll give you different ways to phrase things. It'll give you different examples that are very tangible for your congregation to understand. And so they were just blown away by the tour, because we don't just talk about the canyon, the
right.
big hole in the ground, and the flood. We talk about the authority of Scripture. We start out, you know, how do we know that God exists? Not just like some reasons why he probably exists. How do we know for sure God exists? How do we know the Genesis creation account is scientifically valid? How do we know that there really was a worldwide flood? How do we know Jesus is the Son of God? How do we know the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Very powerful, tangible evidences for that. How do we mentor our children and grandchildren? And then how do we very graciously reach out to skeptics? So I cover, in addition to the canyon stuff, I got a list of about 45 bullet points that just, so they were just loving it every second of the tour.
Wow. That's, you know, to take pastors on these tours, that's, how long have you been doing that?
Doing tours for a little over 10 years. I think at the end of this year, I'll have been there 37 times.
No, but I mean with pastors.
Well, this was the first one.
We
were kicking the tires.
Because that makes
testing
sense.
Testing it out. Yeah, and so we want to do another one next year. It was really easy with Calvary Chapel because they're so closely knit, you know, all the churches and pastors.
Yeah.
I'd like to do it for other churches as well. It's just a little bit harder to coordinate with different denominations to get them. Not that they wouldn't be on the same bus together, but it's just how do you coordinate with various miscellaneous pastors versus telling a few people from Calvary Chapel and having the word get out.
Yeah. That's a great idea. My goodness. Teaching the trainers so that they can, or teaching the pastors, training the pastors so they can equip the saints. Okay, so Jay and I were talking about what to cover today and the topic. And, you know, actually, it does come back to the authority of Scripture and how do we know God's word is true and how do we use that in evangelism. But it starts off by just with some encouraging verses that remind us that we weren't promised an easy life. The Christian life or any other life, and there will be problems in this world, and many of you know that. We go through very hard times, but we have a God who is unshakable, who is totally sovereign over those times. And one of the verses is 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 that says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." And I think of Romans 8:18, that the problems of this life are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us.
Oh, yeah, it's not an easy life. We know there are going to be issues, but God gives us everything we need to do everything he wants us to do. And, you know, two of the verses, you know, John 16:33, Jesus talking, he said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." There's the promise. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." And then James 1, 2 through 4, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So again, we're equipped with everything we need to do for the tasks that God has put before us.
Peter said, "We've been given everything we need for life and for godliness." I just read that the James, I mean, going through the New Testament, I was just in James this morning. But I want to go back to the John 16:33 verse. I just love the contrast. Peace and tribulation. Yeah. Don't you love that? When Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation in this world, but in me you can have peace.
Yeah.
True peace, because people try to do all kinds of different things to try to find peace, to try to create peace, but it's not true peace, right?
Right, it's not. I remember watching a video, I think it was David Jeremiah, sitting on two bar stools. He was being interviewed kind of casually. He was talking about end time events, and the analogy he gave, actually not even analogy, but from Scripture, about the end times when all the nations come against Israel to wipe them out. Hmm. Christ shows up, and he just goes, with his breath, he just wipes them out. That's power, and that's the one who just said in those verses that he's overcome the world, so we can have great confidence in that.
Okay, one more thing.
Okay.
in the Gospels, I think it was the Gospel of John, there's another verse where when the guards came in the Garden of Gethsemane, they asked him, where's Jesus of Nazareth? Who are you? He said, "I am he." And when he said that, they all drew back and fell to the ground.
Yes.
You're just a little bit of power there, just in his response, "I am he." So that's very interesting that you mentioned when all these countries will come against Israel. So you mentioned some kind of stone there, Jay, when we were talking before the podcast here. Explain this.
Yeah, well, when we talked briefly or communicated briefly about the show, I put some thoughts together, and they seem very cryptic. And so the idea of the Rosetta Stone that I mentioned, the show is not about the Rosetta Stone. The Rosetta Stone was something, I think, from 196 B.C., and it ended up containing three languages. One was hieroglyphics, which we didn't understand, but because of the other two languages we did know, it interpreted the hieroglyphics. And so it was a key historical finding that illuminated other things for us. And what my point is going to be is that the Bible is our Rosetta Stone, in a sense. When we understand God's word, it makes sense of this crazy world that we're living in and all the trials that are coming our ways, not only to understand the trials, but to know how should we respond. And the only true, valid, effective response is going to be using Scripture, going to what God has told us in his word.
I think of the rock, a solid rock on which we stand, Jesus Christ. And he is the chief cornerstone. Speaking of stones, chief cornerstone. Yeah, so I remembered Rosetta Stone. I remember it being a learning tool, but I didn't remember the three different languages.
True.
And it was an actual stone that was going back to 196 BC. So Jay's helping me remember what I used to know.
Right.
Or once learned.
And what I want to do next, and I even warned you ahead of time, it's not only going to be a surprise and fun for the audience, it's going to be fun for you because you don't know what you're into.
Uh-oh.
Next. It's short, but it's kind of fun. It's something that I ran into years ago, and it affected me so greatly. I wanted to use it with some spiritual applications in my ministry. And so what I'm going to have you do, I'm going to have you read for the audience a paragraph. And what I want for you and for the audience is to not pull a muscle when you're doing it. Just read it, relax, don't overthink it. Okay. Just read through it calmly, and then when you're done, we'll take it to the next step. So go ahead and give it a shot.
Okay, now, this is what Jay Siegert of The Starting Point Project gave me to read. Here we go. A newspaper is better than a magazine. A seashore is a better place than the street. At first, it is better to run than to walk. You may have to try several times. It takes some skill, but it is easy to learn. Even young children can enjoy it. Once successful, complications are minimal. Birds seldom get too close. Rain, however, soaks in very fast. Too many people doing the same thing can also cause problems. One needs lots of room. If there are no complications, it can be very peaceful. A rock will serve as an anchor. If things break loose from it, however, you will not get a second chance.
Okay.
I have no idea what I right. just read.
Which is the expected reaction, and the same thing with the audience. They're probably, what in the world is that all about?
They're trying.
You understood every sentence, but they didn't cohere. They didn't go together. Just random statements. Okay. Believe it or not, I'm going to have you read it one more time. Okay. The exact same thing, except what you're going to do this time in the audience. I want you to picture in your mind a kite. So picture a kite, and I'll reread the paragraph.
Picture a kite?
A kite. You fly around a kite.
Okay.
Think about a kite and reread the same thing.
Okay. A newspaper is better than a magazine. A seashore is a better place than the street. At first, it is better to run than to walk. You may have to try several times. It takes some skill, but it's easy to learn. Even young children can enjoy it. Once successful, complications are minimal. Birds seldom get too close. Rain, however, soaks in very fast. Too many people doing the same thing can also cause problems. One needs lots of room. If there are no complications, it can be very peaceful. A rock will serve as an anchor. If things break loose from it, however, you will not get a second chance. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that fun?
That is.
I said you can only do that once. Now you know, but you can share that with others.
Wow.
So the point is something that at first made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense when you have the right thing in mind. Well, I believe the Bible is our kite. So the world is crazy. We don't know what's going on, what's happening next, where is this all headed?
And it doesn't make sense.
But when you look at it in light of the Bible, we understand it and we actually expect it, and then we also learn how to respond to it.
So I think we're going to get some emails, Jay, that people are going to want this. Do you do you have this on your website?
It's not on the website. It's in one of my talks that's free, a video talk that's free, but I could also just email it to them.
Okay. So what is your – I know you have a contact page at thestartingpointproject.com. If people wanted to get that, what have we just read?
They could just go to the website and use the contact page and make the request, and I'll send it off.
All right. But what's not written in there is – a kite.
Yeah, you have to know that's the solution.
It's about a kite. That is fascinating.
Yeah, that's
a lot of fun. That really is.
So that's why I wanted to lead into basically the whole point is that we always need to reference the Bible when we're dealing with an issue. There's a lot of issues coming our way right now. We're not taking the time on the show to go through them, but, you know, all the transgender stuff and gay marriage and wokeism and cancel culture, all those things. There's a myriad of issues. Anytime anyone brings up those issues, it should never, ever be our philosophy versus theirs. Who are we that the whole world should care at all what we think? If someone brings one of those up, we should say, fascinating topic. Let me see what the Bible has to say about that. And if they have a problem with what you're sharing at that point, their problem isn't with you. Their problem is with God's words.
Right.
It's just up to us to very graciously help them understand what did God say about all these things. And I thought of a somewhat of a crude analogy a while back. Picture a hypodermic needle. And I'll picture trying to use that to eat Rocky Road ice cream. That would not go well at all. Would you get mad at the manufacturer of the needle because you can't eat Rocky Road ice cream?
It wasn't made to eat ice cream.
Right. That wasn't their intention when they designed it. So it's the same thing with all these issues we're dealing with today. It's not how God intended things to be. So we want people to understand that, not so much as a judgment against them, but just say, hey, this is God's world. He designed it a certain way. You're going out of bounds, and that's why there are going to be issues. And I care about you, so I want you to understand this. And really, another quick analogy, just one of the issues, the whole abortion thing, pro-life, pro-choice. You got a debate going back and forth between a Christian and a pro-choice person. And then the pro-choice or the Christian at one point says, well, the Bible says. And then the skeptic jumps in right away. Oh, you got to leave your religion out of this. What they really mean is you got to leave the Bible out of this. Mm-hmm. And at that point, way too many Christians kowtow. Like, well, okay, I suppose it's not fair for me to bring in my religious views. If we do that, we are toast.
Mm-hmm.
We are done. And here's why. We believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. They believe it's not. They want us to give up our starting point, our foundation, while they keep theirs.
Yeah.
How is that fair in any sense? It's not. What we should do is say, yes, I do believe the Bible's the inspired word of God. You don't. Let's admit that and go from there. Mm-hmm. Because the pro-choice person might be the first to admit, if the Bible's the inspired word of God, case closed. You know, abortion's wrong. But they'll be quick to say, but I don't believe the Bible's the inspired word of God. And then I say, and that's the real issue. Mm. The issue isn't really abortion or transgenderism or anything else. It's that they don't believe the Bible's the inspired word of God. Of course, they're going to come to different conclusions on these issues. So we need to keep it to God's word, which is our only source really of truth or hope to change lives. And then we need to be able to go further to give them evidence why the Bible is the inspired word of God and not just our religious book of choice.
And we've talked a lot with you on past podcasts, the fact that science is just knowledge, and there's a lot of knowledge in the Bible. So science backs up the Bible, if you want to put it that way. But we got to take a brief pause. We're with Jay Siegert, the Starting Point Project. We'll be right back.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey, friends, please remember to subscribe and follow us on whatever platform you choose, audio, video. Praise God, we're all over the place and growing. But if you want to find past episodes with your favorite guests, such as Mr. Jay Siegert, just go to worldviewmatters.tv, and the search function is up top. Just type in the person's name at the top of the page. See that magnifying glass there? I think they're going to do that. Uh-oh, look at that. I didn't even do that, and all these episodes come up with Mr. Jay Siegert. Look at that. So any guest, your favorite guest, you can type that in at the search, worldviewmatters.tv. No restrictions apply. So, Jay, good stuff here. The next couple things I really appreciate about standards and which makes more sense. Go ahead and share on that.
Sure. I like to refine the way I approach skeptics. I always do it with a very sympathetic, you know, heart. Because it's a spiritual issue. So I'll ask the skeptic, which makes more sense if you were to die and stand before God? And I say that because if you're talking to an atheist, they're going to say, I don't believe that God exists. So I'm not saying, do you believe?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you were to die and end up standing before God, what would make more sense? That God would end up judging you based on whatever standard you made up, or would he judge you on his own standard? Every single skeptic I've talked to so far, they say logically, it makes more sense that God would use his own standard.
So they get that.
Yeah, and I say I agree with that logic. I said, then logically, it's probably pretty important to figure out what his standard is if he's going to judge us with his standard. And they would agree that that makes sense so far. And then I'd say, okay, with God, we have three options. One option would be that God created everything, including us, but he doesn't care. He has no standards. We can be kind to each other or we can kill each other. He doesn't care. That option doesn't make sense to anyone out there, that he would create all this and not care. Second option is he created everything, including us. He does have standards. He just never bothered to tell us what they are. So we're going to die. We're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, I would have let you into heaven, but what you had to do while you're on earth, you had to sit on a green park bench in the rain for 3.5 hours in between a slinky and a statue of Beethoven, and then you would have gotten into heaven. We'd be like, I didn't know that. He goes, yeah, I know you didn't know that, but sorry, too bad, it's my standard. That option makes no sense to anyone.
Right.
The third option is he did create everything, including us. He cares, he has standards, and he told us what they are. The Bible makes that claim that they are God's standards. Now, I could write a book tonight making all those claims. I just couldn't back it up. I couldn't give you evidence that what I wrote actually is from God. But the Bible gives us a way to defend that it truly is what it claims to be, the inspired Word of God cover to cover.
Mm, good stuff. What about the objection? We've talked about this before, but I just think about that when you're talking about standards. And that it is God's word. He did tell us what his standards are, and that the Bible is his word. That men just Bible is just written, a book written by men. So okay. It's not inspired.
Yeah, claims are made all the time. I'd say, okay, tell me more about that. Apparently you've heard that. What's the actual evidence that it was just written by man? The vast majority of skeptics kind of will be stumped at that point. They don't know. They're repeating something they heard from someone else who didn't really know who repeated it from someone else and on down the line. If they ever do throw something out at you, if you don't have an answer right away, then you want to qualify them. Say, okay, that's interesting. I have some thoughts. I want to do a little more research, but I have a question. Is this one of your biggest reasons why you reject God, Jesus, the Bible, whatever it is? If they say no, say, okay, can we table that temporarily and you tell me your top three
objections?
If this is one of the biggies, I'm going to do some research and get back to you. But if I can get back to you with a reasonable response to that issue you're bringing up, would you be willing to hear more about Jesus? If they say no, they're not being serious. If they say yes, you got your homework cut out for you. So you want to qualify them to make sure they're not just throwing up a smokescreen.
Yeah. That's an excellent point that a lot of people just heard the objections, and they're not their own. They're not because of some conviction or something they've researched, studied, and looked for and believed. No, they just heard the objections that are easy to say.
Yeah, most people protesting something, you see streets lined up with people and signs. Most people don't know much about what they're objecting to. They just were given a sign. They like being part of the crowd and screaming and whatever, but they don't really know their safety in the crowd. You pull them out individually and start asking any questions, and they will melt pretty quick, most of them. And so it's the same thing with skeptics. They don't want the Bible to be true. They've heard some things that they like, and they just repeat them. And unfortunately, too many Christians don't have an appropriate response, so it works. I call it the Trump card, not President Trump, but they just pull it out of their back pocket, and it works, and their Christian runs away screaming, you know, in fright. They put it back in their pocket until they pull it out amongst a Christian who does know something, and all of a sudden it's not working anymore. Now what do I do?
So I'm going back decades now. I remember this response when people ask you, you know, where do you get that or why do you believe that? Well, it's like, what is it? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So in other words, you don't need to explain yourself, defend your position. That just settles it.
Yeah, that's anti-biblical because God commands us. He doesn't say if you get a chance, look into these things. He commands us to have reasons for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ.
2 Peter 3:15.
No, 1 Peter 3:15.
1 Peter 3:15. Yep. I was testing you.
There you go. Good test. Thank you.
So I love what you said here, Jay, and we're down to 3.5 minutes. We don't go around trying to get people to live like Christians. It's hard enough for Christians to live like Christians. So I like this because I love looking at all this research on declining biblical morality, declining biblical worldview and standards of morality in America, declining truth, moral absolutes. And we can't expect people who have no faith, don't believe in God, probably have not read the Bible, to be moral people. But sometimes we do, right?
I heard this phrase. I don't know if it was a billboard or something, but it said, don't be upset with people because they sin differently than you do. It's like, wow, that puts things in perspective. But we're so focused, hyper-focused on people's behaviors, which those are symptoms of the actual problem. So if you try to get someone to not be transgender or to not do this or not do that, it's a Band-Aid. It'll probably fall off. It's not effective. So we don't change behavior. We introduce them to Jesus Christ to transform their lives from the inside. And then the Holy Spirit can help them with things that probably need to change, those issues we are trying to put Band-Aids on.
So in the last, I think we're going to try to wrap it up here, but there are four things that you left as far as the notes here. What if God did write a book? What if he did write the Bible? How would we be able to tell? And you've got these four points. Can you briefly touch on that?
Yeah, super quick. People say, you know, there's no evidence that God wrote the Bible. I say, okay, let's forget the Bible for a second. Let's say God wrote a book. Some book out there God wrote. How would you know? Mm. And their silence, they're like, they've never thought through that. How would they know? Well, and this is my short answer. If God actually wrote a book sitting somewhere, I would expect it to be at least four things: internally consistent, historically accurate, prophetically accurate, and scientifically accurate. And when you apply those tests to the Bible, it passes every one, but you apply the same test to other books, they fail. They all fall by the wayside.
That is excellent. So one more time, people, you got to get this. Rewind this and write this down if you missed that. Internal consistency, historical accuracy, prophetic accuracy, scientific accuracy. Let's talk about history, world history. You can get so much more from the Bible than almost any other book as far as world history. But prophetic accuracy, there are numbers. I mean, who could have fulfilled all the prophecies, predictions that Jesus did, for example? All the fulfilled prophecy. Who could do that but God? Tell the future and then say, okay, this, and then it happens, and it's written down in the book.
Yeah, 27% of the Bible is prophetic in nature. That's over 8,000 passages.
How many passages?
Over 8,000 passages.
Wow.
About 700 topics.
And I know we've talked about, was it Peter Stoner, the numbers? It's astronomical, the odds of one man fulfilling just, was it eight prophecies?
Just a handful, 48 of the 300 that he fulfilled. It'd be, a Rubik's Cube, really quick. The chances of solving it blindfolded by random, you're just spinning it randomly, one chance in 10 million trillion of getting the Rubik's Cube right. Jesus just doing 48 prophecies is like solving that Rubik's Cube blindfolded randomly eight times in a row, getting it right every single time.
Okay, grasp that as well as we leave you on this podcast. But Jay Seeger, thestartingpointproject.com. Brother, always good to see you and have you in studio. Thanks for being on the game.
I appreciate the opportunity. I'll come anytime you want.
All right, blessings on your ministry, brother. All right, friends, we appreciate you as well. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.